Hello. I'm going to go over mainly the descriptive epi of heat-related illness in North Carolina last summer. I'll just touch on our climate and health program very quickly and a little bit on the background of heat-related illness, and then I'll mainly focus on the data sources we use for surveillance, the epidemiology of heat-related illness last summer, and our July heat wave. So our surveillance for heat-related illness in North Carolina is done through our CDC climate, through our North Carolina Climate and Health Program, which is funded by the CDC Climate and Health Program. And for anybody that's not familiar, the CDC Climate and Health Program funds and supports 16 states and two cities to address the health effects of climate change. And those health effects are really state and city specific. We get to choose what is most important for us. And, well, we don't get to choose what's most important, but we get to choose what we focus on. And heat is one of two focus areas in North Carolina. So you don't have to be in public health to really know what heat-related illness is. It's basically the body's inability to properly cool itself. We see visits in the emergency departments for things as less severe as heat cramps, but also heat exhaustion and heat stroke being the most severe form of heat-related illness. So in North Carolina, we are lucky enough to have NC Detect, which is the North Carolina Disease Event Tracking and Epidemiologic Detection Tool. And that is a surveillance system that is hooked into almost all of the hospitals throughout the state. We don't have access to military facilities or hospitals on native lands, but most of the rest of the hospitals and the general public, we are able to access information for. And so for heat-related illness, we look at the number of emergency department visits for HRIs. We look at it by hospital, not by county of residence. And so this allows us to capture where exposure is actually happening and also capture people who are not North Carolina residents who might have been there for the summer visiting on vacation. But it does make using rates inappropriate because we don't really have a adequate denominator. So I'm gonna, most of my presentation is just the numbers of visits. So once we get a line list for the emergency department visits weekly, we also have information on age, sex, location, and visit notes, which is the most helpful when we're analyzing this. Not all of them, not all of the visits have that, but we are able to sometimes figure out what caused this heat-related illness. And so within NC Detect, we have a case definition set up that includes ICD-9 codes for things like heat stroke, heat exhaustion, heat syncope, heat cramps, but then also free text. It looks for those phrases in triage notes, chief complaints, nurses' notes, but then it also looks for things, phrases like sunstroke and too hot and overheated. So we try to capture heat-related illness any way that we can. We send out weekly heat summary reports, and for the climate side of it, for the heat side of it, we look at the State Climate Office of North Carolina, the Kronos database. We look at the Raleigh-Durham International Airport Station because it's pretty centrally located in the state, and we look at maximum heat index for that. So this graph is showing the 2016 heat season. It starts on May 1st, 2016, ends on September 30th. That's the x-axis. On the y-axis, on the left side, are the counts of emergency department visits, and that's in blue. And on the left axis, on the right side, is the daily maximum heat index, and that's in red. So you can kind of see when we have peaks in heat, we have peaks in ED visits. So getting more specifically into this, our daily maximum heat indices last summer ranged from below 70 degrees Fahrenheit in May. And I say below because below a certain point, heat index isn't calculated. And then to 109.4 degrees in July with a median of 91 degrees Fahrenheit. 28 days throughout this five-month period had a maximum heat index greater than 100 degrees, which is basically a month's worth. And we had approximately 4,847 heat-related illnesses that could be identified in our emergency department visit notes, which is 43% more than the previous summer. And it was the highest number that we had seen since we started doing this surveillance in 2010. In terms of demographic characteristics, the 19% of all of our visits were among the 25 to 34-year-old age group, with similar numbers in 35 to 44 and 45 to 54. which usually aren't the age groups that people think of as most vulnerable, but we don't see as much heat-related illness in the very young or the very old, and most of that is just due to exposure. The 25 to 54-year-old age group are the people who are outside more often, and also the people who are more likely to have work-related exposures. However, it's very different when you look at severity of illness. So this table in the right column is the total number of emergency department visits for each age group. It's the same number as in this table. But the middle column is, of that, the number who were admitted to the hospital. So as you can see, approximately one quarter of all persons over the age of 65 who visited the emergency department for heat-related illness were ultimately hospitalized, which is more than any other age group. And it has a trend as age increases as well. 73% of all of our emergency department visits are among males, and that probably also has to do with exposure. Males are more likely to work in the kinds of fields that we see come up a lot, like construction, farming, and roofing. And then, as you would expect, we don't see very many visits in the mountain region, some, but most of our emergency department visits are in the Piedmont or the coastal regions. And then the shaded area that you can see on the map is our Sandhills subregion, which has some counties in the Piedmont, some in the coast. And 14% last summer of all of our heat-related illnesses were seen in hospitals in the Sandhills. And just to kind of give you a concept of that only that region has less than 10% of the state's population. So looking through the triage notes and the nurse's notes and the chief complaints, it's really great when there's a mention of what happened. And so sometimes we get visit notes that will specifically say what the person was doing. Most often it's working outside or it's recreation. Some of the jobs that come up most often are construction, roofing, landscaping, and farming. For recreation, yard work comes up all the time. Which, I mean, I wouldn't want to be doing that, so it always surprises me. Running, also something I wouldn't want to be doing. And then depending on the time of year, we see football and soccer a lot. We always see an uptick in football when right before school starts. And then being in a home with no air conditioning, as you would imagine, we see a lot of visits for that. And then also working in a facility with no air conditioning. It's really common in North Carolina for manufacturing facilities not to have air conditioning. I did a site visit in one, and after about 20 minutes, I thought I was going to pass out. So I really cannot imagine how some of these people work there all day. And I can definitely understand how they end up with heat-related illness. This graph is comparing 2016 with the years prior. On the x-axis is the week ending date for 2016, and the years are matched up by MMWR week. And on the y-axis is the percent of all emergency department visits for all causes, the number of those that were due to heat-related illness. So you can see a spike in 2015, and that was when we had a heat wave in June. But then after that, from July 2nd on, every single week in 2016 had a higher proportion of heat-related illnesses than the 2 years prior. And the spike in 2016 at the end of July is the July heat wave. So this was a 5-day period when we had heat advisories for 25% or more of the state. Let's talk of the town. In that 5-day period, it was July 24th through 28th, we had 562 emergency department visits for heat-related illness. That was more than double the visits in the previous 5-day period, and it accounts for almost 12% of all of the heat-related illnesses we saw over the entire heat season. Daily maximum heat indices ranged from 105.5 at a minimum to 109.4 degrees Fahrenheit, with a median daily maximum heat index of 107.4. 9% of our emergency department visits resulted in a hospitalization. We did have one confirmed death. It was of a 78-year-old male. And activity activities in the visit notes were really similar to what we see any other time, occupational, associated, and recreational, as well as the lack of air conditioning. The really big issue was just the heat. So I'll leave you with this quote that the State Climate Office said at the end of the summer. In Raleigh, and this was in reference to July, in Raleigh there have been 31 hours this summer when the heat index has been at 105 degrees or higher. That is more than the last three summers combined. So, thank you.